Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 5. Narada's Instructions on Srimad Bhagavatam. Text 13. Atao Mahabhaga Bhavana Mogadrit Shuchi Shavasatyarato Dritavrata Uru Kramasya Kilavanda Muktaye Samadhinanu smaratad vicheshtitam. Ato mahabhaga bhavanamokatrik shuchi shravasatyarato jitavrita uru kramasya kilavanda muktaye samadhinanu smaratad vicheshtitam. Translation. O Vyasadeva, your vision is completely perfect. Your good fame is spotless. You are firm in vow and situated in truthfulness. And thus you can think of the pastimes of the Lord in trance for the liberation of the people in general from all material bondage. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. People in general have a taste for literatures by instinct. They want to hear and read from the authorities something about the unknown. But their taste is exploited by unfortunate literatures, which are full of subject matter for satisfaction of the material senses. Such literatures contain different kinds of mundane poems and philosophical speculations, more or less under the influence of Maya, ending in sense gratification. These literatures, although worthless in the true sense of the term, are variously decorated to attract the attention of the less intelligent men. Thus, the attracted living entities are more or less entangled in material bondage, without hope of liberation for thousands and thousands of generations. So, earlier, Sri Narada had instructed Srila Vyasadeva to describe the glories of the Lord. His name, his form, his qualities, his pastimes, and his paraphernalia. And he described that people who are like swans will appreciate such literatures, even if the literatures are imperfectly composed. And that people who are like crows will be attracted to literatures which are devoid of the glories of Lord. So here Srila Prabhupada is explaining that people have a natural desire to read and learn, and that materialistic people take advantage of the desire of the people to sell them mundane literatures with mundane ideas. Srila Prabhupada often quoted the verse to the effect that a dead body may be decorated very nicely, but still it is a dead body, and only foolish people or ignorant people will appreciate the decoration of the dead body. So any subject devoid of Krishna consciousness is more or less dead. Even though it may be decorated with poetic ornaments, and only silly people are allured by the literary ornaments of mundane literature, which is devoid of the glories of the Lord. So therefore, Narada is advising Vyas that he should describe the glories of the Lord, and we'll continue with the purport and discuss further. Thus, the attracted living entities are more and more entangled in material bondage without hope of liberation for thousands and thousands of generations. Sri Narada Rishi, being the best among the Vaishnavas, is compassionate towards such unfortunate victims of worthless literatures. And thus he advises Sri Vyasadeva to compose transcendental literature, which is not only attractive, but can also actually bring liberation from all kinds of bondage. So the literature, yes, if the subject is God, thoughtful people will appreciate it, even if the literature is not decorated with beautiful ornaments. But if possible, even devotional literature should be attractive. And we find in the line of transcendental scholars and poets that many of them were among the greatest poets in the history of the world. But even if one is not able to write beautiful poetry in ornamental language, even if one presents the subject matter of Godhead in simple language, even in broken language, even then the message is so valuable that thoughtful people will appreciate it and accept it. Srila Prabhupada himself never claimed that he had any special literary talent or scholarly ability. But he said that he just tried to present the message of Krishna as it is, without adulteration, without adding anything or subtracting anything. And whenever people would try to give credit to Srila Prabhupada, he would always say that he has no personal credit. If he has any credit at all, his credit was that he presented the message of Krishna as it is. And that the subject itself is so good, even though he didn't present it very well, people got so much benefit, and therefore they appreciated him. So whether one has literary ability or not, or artistic talent or not, one should present the Lord. One should use one's ability to present the Lord to one's capacity. And the subject itself, Krishna, is all attractive. And therefore, purified people will be attracted to Krishna, however he is presented. But if we do have the ability to sing nicely, or paint nicely, or speak nicely, then so much the better. We can glorify the Lord by using our artistic ability or poetic expertise in the service of the Lord. But in any case, we should present the Lord to people, because people need to hear about the Lord and learn about the Lord, and they need to purify their hearts by hearing about the Lord and thinking about the Lord. So the message is so important, the subject is so important, that we should present it, however imperfect our attempt may be from the material point of view. Because even then our effort will bring success because of the subject, the value of the subject. And therefore Srila Prabhupada always said that anybody can preach. You don't have to be a great scholar or a great orator. Anyone who just presents the message as it is can preach, that people will appreciate and benefit. He used to give the example of his secretary Shamsundar Prabhu's daughter Saraswati. When she was only 3 years old, she would approach respectable gentlemen who visited the Bombay temple and ask them, "Do you know who is Krishna?" And then she would say, "Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead." And she was repeating the message as she heard it. So anyone can preach if he or she just presents the message as it is, no matter how simple the language is. And if one is pure in one's practices and is sincere in one's efforts, that people will appreciate. Srila Vyasadeva or his representatives are qualified because they are rightly trained to see things in true perspective. Srila Vyasadeva and his representatives are pure in thought due to their spiritual enlightenment, fixed in their vows due to their devotional service, and determined to deliver the fallen souls rotting in material activities. The fallen souls are very eager to receive novel information every day, and transcendentalists like Vyasadeva or Narada can supply such eager people in general with unlimited news from the spiritual world. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said that the material world is only a part of the whole creation, and that this earth is only a fragment of the whole material world. So Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, wanted to start a daily newspaper in Navadvipa. So when the devotees went to the printer, he was somewhat skeptical that how could there be enough news to publish a paper every day. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur replied that the material world is just 1/4 of the entire kingdom of God. And within the material world, there are so many universes and so many planets, and out of them, one planet is the Earth, insignificant planet. Yet there's enough news to print a newspaper every day with news just about the Earth. So how much more news there would be from the spiritual world, which is unlimitedly greater than the material world. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, we have enough news or information to publish a paper every second. But the problem is that there are no customers. So that is the situation. We have so much to say about Krishna, Krishna consciousness, that even Ananta, with his unlimited hoods and unlimited tongues, even with an unlimited period of time, could never reach the limit of the glories of the Lord. He could go on speaking unlimitedly for unlimited time and still have more to say in glorification of the Lord. So there's no limit at all as to how much we can present. The only question is how much people will hear. There are thousands and thousands of literary men all over the world, and they have created many, many thousands of literary works for the information of the people in general, for thousands and thousands of years. Unfortunately, none of them have brought peace and tranquility on the earth. This is due to a spiritual vacuum in those literatures. Therefore, the Vedic literatures, especially the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, are specifically recommended to suffering humanity to bring about the desired effect of liberation from the pangs of material civilization, which is eating the vital part of human energy. The Bhagavad Gita is the spoken message of the Lord Himself, recorded by Vyasadeva. And the Srimad Bhagavatam is the transcendental narration of the activities of the same Lord Krishna, which alone can satisfy the hankerings of the living being for eternal peace and liberation from miseries. Srimad Bhagavatam, therefore, is meant for all living beings all over the universe for total liberation from all kinds of material bondage. Such transcendental narrations of the pastimes of the Lord can be described only by liberated souls like Vyasadeva and his bona fide representatives, who are completely merged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Only to such devotees do the pastimes of the Lord and their transcendental nature become automatically manifest by dint of devotional service. So, Srila Prabhupada here further distinguishes between mundane literature and spiritual literature. Although literary men have produced thousands and thousands of works of mundane literature for thousands and thousands of years, they have not been able to bring about the desired peace and liberation from the material pangs that people really want. So, transcendental literatures, on the other hand, do have the potency to bring the desired peace and liberation from the material pangs. Then the next question is, who can write such literature? And in the verse, Sri Narada explains to Vyas why he is qualified to write such literatures. And the basic qualification, although it is mentioned in different ways, but the basic qualification is that he is a devotee. And he is truthful, he is fixed in devotional service, and he's purified by devotional service. Such persons can present the message of the Lord as it is. Now someone on the level of Vyas can actually enter into trance and see the pastimes of the Lord and record what he sees in trance. But even devotees who are not at the stage where they can see the pastimes of the Lord directly in trance, they can still serve the cause of the Lord by repeating the perfect version of liberated souls like Vyasadeva. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada said in the context of his devotees and his followers that if they chanted 16 rounds and followed the regulative principles, they would have sufficient strength and potency and purity to be able to preach effectively. Only to such devotees do the pastimes of the Lord and their transcendental nature become automatically manifest by dint of devotional service. No one else can either know or describe the acts of the Lord, even if they speculate on the subject for many, many years. The descriptions of the Bhagavatam are so precise and accurate that whatever has been predicted in this great literature about 5,000 years ago is now happening exactly. Therefore, the vision of the author comprehends past, present, and future. So, such sages and rishis like Narada and Vyas are called Sri Kala Gya. They know all three phases of time, past, present, and future. And therefore, what they have written in Srimad Bhagavatam about 5,000 years ago is actually coming true now, 5,000 years later. And the predictions go even further into the future, thousands of years into the future. And we expect that whatever they have said about the future will also come to pass. Because they are Trikalagya. They have knowledge of past, present, and future. Such liberated persons as Vyasadeva are perfect, not only by the power of vision and wisdom, but also in oral reception, in thinking, feeling, and all other sense activities. A liberated person possesses perfect senses, and with perfect senses only can one serve the sense proprietor, Rishikesh, Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead. As Sarvapadi Vinirmuktam, Tatparatvena Nirmalam, Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam, Bhakti Ruchake. That by engaging the senses in the service of the proprietor of the senses, or Krishna, the senses become purified. One becomes free from material designations, that I am man, I am woman, I am black, I am white, I am German, I am Italian, I am French, I am Spanish, or whatever. And with such purified senses, one can actually engage in the service of the Lord. There are different stages of devotional service. So in sadhana bhakti, one engages the senses in the service of the Lord in practice. Even though the senses are not completely purified, but by engaging them in the service of the Lord, they become purified. And then, when the senses are completely purified, when the mind is completely purified, then one is able to serve the Lord in bhava bhakti, prema bhakti. And then one, because one has purified senses, one can actually see the Lord by direct perception. See, hear, experience the Lord by direct perception through purified senses. So, both in the stage of devotional service in practice and in the stage of devotional service in perfection, one serves the Lord with one's senses. Just in devotional service and practice, in sadhana bhakti, the senses are not yet completely purified, but they become purified by such service. And in bhava bhakti, prema bhakti, the senses are purified. Therefore, one can serve the Lord directly. With purified senses, one can see the Lord and enter into the Lord's pastimes. Srimad Bhagavatam, therefore, is the perfect description of the all-perfect personality of Godhead by the all-perfect personality, Srila Vyasadeva, the compiler of the Vedas. Hare Krishna. So are there any questions or comments?
So, mentioning how perfect the Vedic literature is, that NASA has just discovered a bridge in Sri Lanka which is connecting Rameshwar to Sri Lanka 2 million years old. Have you heard the news here or not? Did they hear the news here?
Well, I did receive an email with an article and some aerial photographs that show the bridge.
Yes. Yeah. Probably most of the writers in India, they write to Ramayana or Mahabharata or Vedic literature, Indian mythology. And that really made me happy when I heard that. Because Ramayana is 2 million years old. And when the NASA found this bridge, they actually suspected it's some sort of some nuclear things, you know, practices by India or something. But when they really found this bridge is exactly 2 million years old, so that proves that our Vedic literature is perfect.
Yes. Yes. I could forward you the... Did you actually see the photos?
Yes, yes. Did you see
that? Yes, yeah. Quite impressive.
Very attractive, yes.
Good evidence. And proof. Any other questions or comments?
Maharaj, as devotees, sometimes it seems like there's not so much choice, like compared to, you know, like if we put Back to Godhead and then there's like 50,000 other magazines to choose from, you know, Monday magazines. So how do we sort of, you know, sometimes difficult, especially like in the West, we're constantly bombarded by material influences.
Yeah.
Like, what do you do, you know, it's like, there's only Abhay Shuran compared to all the documentaries one could watch, and there's Abhay Shuran, you know, a few ITV programs, and then there's, you know, Back to Godhead. And one sometimes needs that kind of stimulation, but then,
well, many devotees have perceived the need for more presentations of Krishna consciousness. There are a number of books and a number of music cassettes, but we don't have many works of fiction or historical fiction, and some devotees feel we need such books. Like Tamal Krishna Goswami wrote the book about a young man from China who came to America and met the devotees. So one devotee even wrote a book of historical fiction about sadhus some hundreds of years ago in India. But we can use more. Vidyananda Das Goswami is writing a contemporary book of fiction. I mean, it may not be too directly Krishna conscious, that's another issue that some devotees feel we need to write, that people are so low, I mean their consciousness is so low, that we can't expect them to come immediately to the understanding of Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but if they can just start to understand they're not the body, they're the soul within the body, and the soul transmigrates from one body to another, life after life, you know, that will help them to progress gradually. And then as far as films, especially being around Hollywood, there are many devotees that think in terms of presenting films of Krishna consciousness. The only devotees who've actually succeeded in producing a feature-length film are Kaushalya and Anthony. And now they're, you know, entering an agreement with a distributor, and I guess we'll see people buy it. But they basically deal with the theme of incarnation, reincarnation among human beings. But they have many ideas, and what they would like to do is produce, you know, a feature film of Mahabharata or Ramayana using all the technology. Like Anthony told me the other day that for the first time in history there's enough technology to properly present, you know, Mahabharata or Ramayana or Srimad Bhagavatam sort of as it is, you know. He gave the example of the Lord of the Rings, and he said that with the technology they have now, they could pretty much show anything that the Srimad Bhagavatam describes. And that's their dream. That's their dream. But to do it properly, I mean, if we don't do it properly, then, you know, we needn't even bother. But to do it properly will cost millions of dollars. But they're thinking they can make some partnership with some Indian. Anyway, whatever the details are, but when something is well done, it really has a tremendous effect. Because Anthony and Kaushalya and their group are very talented, very qualified artists and musicians. And Mother Urvasi, who you'll probably meet, I don't know, she was just here the other day when we had a program. But she's a Prabhupada disciple in Ojai and a very nice devotee. And so every year she arranges a festival for the holidays around Christmas time. And so she invited, you know, Anthony and Kaushalya and Uttama Shloka and Murli Vandana, well, the whole group, this Trigunya. And they did bhajans before I spoke. And they were like so good that, you know, that their music, and not only are they good musically, but, you know, they're good spiritually. I mean, Kaushalya, she really sings from the heart, and she also has a lovely voice. So, I mean, with a presentation like that, I mean, we could go anywhere. We could perform in front of any audience and touch their hearts and melt their hearts. So there are many talented devotees. Just in Southern California, there's so many talented devotees. And they're thinking, you know, very seriously how to present Krishna consciousness in an artistic way, you know, that can compete with, you know, all the polished works of sense gratification that you marketed, bombarding the conditioned souls. Mukunda Prabhu's written a screenplay for a movie. He sent it to Anthony and Kaushalya. They thought it had potential and he should pursue it. They're actually producing a CD. And they were quite close to finishing it, but then when they decided to go ahead with the idea of the independent feature film, then the CD sort of got put on the back burner. Maybe when Mukunda comes, we visit them. Vibharajaj Prabhu also is very talented as a musician and as an artist. But there are many, actually. Parikshit Prabhu, he rose very high in the Disney organization. In fact, in animation, there's basically two divisions. Like the people and then everything else. Or you could say like the foreground and the background. So, you know, he was in charge of the whole division that dealt with the, like the scenery, you could say, the background. But his real love is actually painting. But in the credits, I forget which of the famous animated Disney features, but he's like number four, you know. It's like the overall person who was in charge, and then I guess the person who was in charge of the characters, and then the person who was in charge of the background was like way at the top. But he didn't like supervising so much. He actually likes painting more. So, but very talented. Vibharajaj Prabhu was also in Disney. Even Ramdras and Driti, the painters, in Durban, they did the one where Krishna's sort of lying in the grass, climbing in the grass. Prabhupada's library. They're very successful, very talented. They want to paint about Krishna, but I guess that's part of the lamentation of many of the artists, that Prabhupada was like a patron of the arts. And since Prabhupada left, there's really no patron of the arts. I mean, Bhagavan did to some extent, and Vendu Vrindavan did to some extent, but it didn't last. They're very good. Lochan did the Prabhupada deity. He's done, he's been commissioned to do busts of Rama creating like very important works for very prestigious places. But the talent is there. And all of the devotees would rather use the talent for direct Krishna conscious subjects than have the best presentation of Krishna consciousness through every artistic medium. Any other questions or comments? Kruntharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Itai Gaura Prema Namah.